everyone. This is Miss Lelaby. Welcome to yet another episode of The Office Podcast. Hopefully, next time I'll be saying your favorite podcast. Hello, co-host.
Hello.
Okay. Doing great.
How you doing?
I had such a great day today, guys. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know. Actually, nothing happened. I just went to the gym. Thought, you know,
you are looking good, by the way. Oh, the gym is doing the
thank
thing.
Thank you, Cosset, and my trainer Bryce.
Ooh, hi, Bryce.
But guys, I literally heard Sister Bettina today, and I cannot express how much joy that song brings me. Like,
okay.
it brings me so much joy. It's ridiculous. Like, I literally.
What did you think of when you were listening to it?
I don't know. I discover new lyrics
you
every
dance?
Time. Yeah, of course. What's that thing?
Wow. And Kia, how's
it going? Oh, no, it's been hectic. Mm-hmm. I actually was rushing here.
Yeah.
Today, yeah, but I had one of those weeks.
I love your brows. Hey.
Oh, slick.
You did the hair laid.
Yes. I use a stencil, guys. I'm not good at makeup, but I'm teaching myself how to do the makeup thing. So I use YouTube on weekends when I'm not busy. So I've got like my whole makeup kit nyana there.
That's nice.
I got myself a little mirror, so I sit there.
So that when you get
weekends,
to the office,
so that when I,
you're like,
when I get to, you know, I know how to highlight. Okay. So I'm getting the highlights correct. It's the contouring that I need to sort
still
my life. Yeah. Mm. And then
do
to get the brows
do contouring
perfect.
Even when they go to the office, like during the
I
day?
I saw a girl at the gym this morning contouring, and I did the eyeshadow, and I was like, wow.
Serious out here.
I'm sorry.
No, I can't do that every day.
I stick to the basics, but you know, the thing about it, when you're naturally beautiful, you don't have to have
Yes.
I'm kidding.
It's true though.
I'm kidding. Okay, so what are we discussing today in the office?
So in
politics.
The office today, guys, something very interesting, money. So I want to know if you know your colleague's salary or salary bracket. And if you want to know, why do you want to know? And what happens if you do know?
Controversial. And then, Lighten, you also have some tea for us later,
yes,
right?
Yes, I got some tea later.
Okay.
It's hot, as usual.
Ooh, okay. I believe you. So before we get to that, you guys know what time it is.
Yeah.
It's quiz time.
I feel like we need to bring a 30 seconds box in here now at this rate.
Wouldn't that be nice?
That'd be actually quite
actually,
nice.
Might be an idea for the next episode.
Exactly. Yeah. That'd be quite a good one. Yeah,
on it.
A good way.
We'll make a plan, guys.
I actually think that is such a brilliant idea.
Yeah.
See why we've got brains and beauty in
right?
the
right?
I'm the beauty, she's the brains. What are you?
Oh, thank you. Yeah. Thank
the
you.
Same, guys. Too early. Too early.
He's a fit one. So we've got the body as well.
Yeah.
Okay.
Cool, guys.
Okay, so first question. Well, the only question, really. So this is a country in Africa. It's a republic, ne?
Okay.
Guess which country I'm talking about. I'm kidding.
Okay,
so there's only over 3 million people in this country. Just 3 million people. Just above 3 million. And this country did not have street names until 2012. So you had to literally direct the cab driver to wherever you're going.
Like,
because there are
like
no street names.
Brom Fisher itself didn't even have street names.
Can we get a clue? Because
I gave you three clues.
Republic.
3 million people in that country. Just over 3 million.
Yes.
And then I said it did not have street names, until 2012.
It really doesn't even...
Register.
Register.
So you can't Google this one like the others.
Okay.
It has, six letters in the country's name. That's the
okay.
Last
okay.
Clue.
Another one. Another
that's
clue.
The last
can
one.
You give us like way in Africa?
Okay. Netflix Black Earth Rising.
Oh.
I'm not even subscribed to Netflix.
You see now, I can't help you there.
Somalia.
Oh my God. Somalia has six letters, first of all. Okay, it's Rwanda. Yes.
How can I not forget that?
It's Rwanda. Okay.
Wow.
You must know your
I
Africa.
I grew up in Rwanda.
Know your continent.
Know
KYC.
Your continent.
Exactly.
Yeah, no.
Oh, I'm actually going to call this feature KYC.
Know your continent. That's
I love
good,
it.
Actually.
Awesome, cool. So that's enough playing for one day. Let's get serious.
Get into it.
So guys, salaries. Imali. It's one of those conversations you are not supposed to have in the office. Or that it's been said that you don't have in the office. But
touchy
I mean,
subject.
I know, right? So I chose a topic for discussion today because I came across a TED Talk online that said that we should know what our colleagues are earning. And I found this funny because when I first saw it, I was like to myself, salaries in the workplace, guys, are treated like, the Queen of England's crown jewels. Like, when you go to England or you go to London and you go and you view the crown jewels, mm. you're not allowed to take pictures of the crown jewels.
Yeah. Not even.
Nothing. Wow. Not even.
So yeah, that's how salaries are protected.
That's how salaries are protected, right? Or should be. Or at least we think that's how they should be protected,
yeah.
right?
It's all, we've always known it to be that way.
Exactly. Yes. Or you don't even chat about that stuff with your friends or well, some people are actually very open, funny enough. I've heard of friends that know what each other's CTCs are and I'm like, oh no, trust me guys, they do.
I wonder if they share because they're saying, oh, this is how much I'm earning, baby, look at me. Yes. Or it's the way these people are paying me peanuts, look. Exactly. I wonder
But they seem to even know each other's bonds, but that's a topic for topic for another day. It's assumed that, you know, your colleague's salary and or knowing what your colleague earns may bring animosity into the team. That's the assumption.
Mm-hmm. Possible.
But with this TED Talk, David Burkus did...
Burkus.
I saw him at Saxon. Oh my gosh, he was so hot.
When? Now?
No, not now. Last year. That was the only time I saw him. Remember when he came for that?
Okay, last year.
Yeah, sorry guys.
Okay,
David Burkus did a TED Talk at the University of Nevada and he asked, what if the secrecy is the reason for the animosity in the office?
Mm-hmm. What if secrecy is the reason? Okay.
For the animosity in the office. Mm. What if the transparency actually led to the teamwork that you want to strive for in the organization? Mm. What do you guys think?
Hmm. That is a very interesting point because I think if people don't know what they are getting what other people are getting, they have no way to tell if what they are being paid is fair.
Exactly.
And that has to do with the fact that I don't know what my colleague is earning. So it could be that if I know what this person is earning and he knows what I'm earning, if he's earning more than me, then he will perform to that level to show that he deserves this high salary. I don't know. It's very tricky. But I think salaries are very controversial and there's a lot of things that go into determining what each person will be paid. As long as I think there will obviously be benchmarks within whatever salary ranges, but it might be that we're doing the same type of job but we're earning different salaries, and there's a lot of things that go into that. It could be qualifications, years of experience, and it could be how you've been performing overall. So it could have been that we were both employed at the same time, maybe we had just graduated and whatever, but as we get into the organization, I perform at a higher level than you, therefore my increases get higher. I get 10%, you get 6% or whatever. So in that regard, even though we're doing the same job, we've got the same qualification, but the performance in the actual role is not the same.
Exactly.
I guess it's tricky because I've seen situations where people are earning vastly differently, yet doing the same job. Exactly. And then there are people who I think are overstated, especially from the interview process, who it is possible that they might actually be getting, because they have the years of experience, but might not necessarily be technically inclined to that particular job. Because you know how we tend to change careers and
what
we
do you
move
mean
around.
So they have experience, but not technically inclined.
So the person might have worked for 6 years, right?
Yes.
And then after that 6 years, has decided, okay, I'm changing and I'm moving into the PR space. So I'm moving into a different space.
Okay.
So they don't necessarily have a number of experience in that particular field, but because you can't decrease someone. I mean, I'm not going to move for a salary.
Okay, so because you change roles.
You change roles.
Let's say in the same company.
Yeah,
let's say in the same company, but you don't
necessarily have the specific skill set that is required in that. So you're still going to be learning and moving in, yet you're coming into a position where someone else has been in the division or that department and has been proving their worth, but because they
so
have...
it's historic, it's legacy.
Yeah. So then how do we then balance that sort of stuff?
Look, unfortunately, some of the things are just what they are.
Yeah.
So this person decided to apply for a role and whatever, and I don't know. I think it will have to just be managed as they give people increases. For example, if there is a role maximum, let's say the role maximum is like 900,000 and this person is already on 800,000 and you who with experience in this particular role has got is earning maybe let's say 600,000. So when we give increases, then you might give this one maybe a smaller increase the one who's earning 900 a smaller increase so as to manage that gap.
Yeah, okay.
And then you can find other ways to incentivize them rather than increasing their salary.
Okay.
So that could be another option. Yeah. But sometimes you can't help these things. Lights and
yeah, no, because my thing is that I veer from, would I want to know, do I want to know, do I not want to know? But I think not knowing, like you said earlier, actually, is you cannot tell if you're being
paid fairly
or not. Because also, I think in different, corporate, not necessarily advertising, you would know what sort of like level you're in, what your band is, which is different.
Yeah.
With advertising, you really do not know. Mm-hmm. We can be like 50,000 apart and doing the same job.
Sure.
And it's quite frustrating because then you're always like, ooh, I'm not really sure.
Yeah.
And that's why I feel like in those spaces, people actually want to know how much other people make. Because also, that's related to how you, like, what you do. Because most of advertising is like putting in the work, like the hard work.
Mm,
it's like, it's not because you have like a master's degree and you get to delegate. No, if I'm like putting on my blood, sweat and tears into this, like I think I should be paid the same as someone else. I don't know. It's quite a tricky one because it is like a different, it's different, I suppose, from situation to situation.
Yeah, yeah.
And yeah.
But it's becoming more and more of a trend. There are lots of, I don't know if lots is the right word, but there are some international companies now that are starting to actually publish. I saw there's a company called Bafa. It's like a social media management.
Yes.
They publish salaries internally and externally. Literally, there's a link. You can go to that link. They update it every year.
Yeah.
Yikes.
From the CEO downwards, you can see exactly where. So it's just Google Bafa salaries online and then you will see.
Okay.
So they've got a formula though that they use, which has been criticized.
Okay.
Whatever. Apparently, it says they look at their own benchmark and then they look at the cost of living, depending on which city you are in, the cost of living in that particular city. They look at, I think, experience and then their role. So there's like a formula, literally. So everyone
in the business then knows what everyone
else
is on.
Yeah. And they're saying that as soon as they started publishing their salaries, they got way too many applications.
Oh yeah,
because there were lots of conversations in the company before they published to say, what if when we publish now, our people get they get poached because our competitors will know exactly what we are paying them.
Yeah.
They can send them offers, but they're saying their rule, their goal, their strategy is all about transparency, and it has worked so far.
So I think for a lot of, because I think the UK as well is now seeking transparency, or they were seeking transparency last year as well, because they're trying to close the gender pay gap as so there's that element to it as well. Obviously in South Africa it comes down to a lot more than just a
gender
pay gap, racial pay
gender
gap as well, because we've got a lot more you know, pressing issues in South Africa that we need to deal from, apart from, you know, the past. But I've also chatted to some people. Sorry, Lynn, do you want to say
that? I just guys, I don't know if it's deviating a bit far from this, like just speaking of that company and you know, possibility of competitors poaching. Do you think that it's still keeping it on the salary topic, is it fair for people to ask for your payslip when they want to hire you?
Yes.
No.
I know that's it. No, guys, I think... Wait.
Okay,
that's
a debate for another day.
So maybe we could extend that particular conversation
next week.
Because I've seen discussions about this topic on social media, and I've just been like shaking my head.
Cool.
We're going to park it for next week.
Okay, cool. Because then, you know, guys, actually, thanks, Lighten. Now we have the topic for next week. And we will actually unpack recruitment, I think, in its entirety.
Exactly.
And then maybe also unpack the difference between your CTC, unpack the difference between you know, your take home, your gross, that sort of stuff. So let's park that one. It's a good one.
Yeah.
I've noted
it. I love
it.
Yes.
Great.
Definitely.
So I wanted to add on the gender pay gap, which is the interesting thing that I saw is that South Africa in 2017, the gap was like 10%. 2018, 2019, the report by the Global Wage Report, it was the Global Wage Report, it's now at 28%.
Yeah.
So women earn 28% less than males. Wow. So I'm like, instead of getting better, it's getting bigger. So what are we doing in our corporate?
So maybe it speaks to who's in leadership. Because with listed companies on the stock exchange, execs' pay has to be out in the open, so it has to be open.
They publish those ones.
Yeah, those they publish those as well. Yeah. And sometimes you're like, yikes, and you're like, damn, that is a lot of money.
But
and you know, investors actually they question those things. They question why are you earning, or why are you paying yourself so much, yet the business is performing in such a manner. So it's quite.
So you agree that it's fair for those executive salaries to be published?
Yeah, I think it's fair.
Okay,
I definitely think it is fair too. Okay. I definitely think it should be done. I think it's good corporate governance. It's just what it is. But that's also a topic for another episode that we can unpack. I've also gotten some, you know, some opinions from the streets.
Mm-hmm.
I've spoken to two people who given me their opinions, and then let's see what they say, and let's see if we agree with what they say or we disagree. And here's a lady, and this is what she has to say.
Well, I don't think that colleagues should know each other's salary, basically because so it will also bring about victimization for people who are earning more. It'll come about, bullying will come about, you know, people will start slacking because they're demotivated because one person's earning more.
That was Pumi's view. So she's of the opinion that we shouldn't know our colleagues' salaries. And this is what Sibonga Konke also had to say.
I think we should all know how much our colleagues are earning. Well, at least in the same workspace, people that are on the same level, I feel we should know how much each person is earning, because if we are doing the same job and we are not earning the same salary, then I need to ask myself why. I need to ask you as my boss why. It shouldn't be a secret.
So two opposing views, completely opposing views.
It shouldn't be a secret.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm ready for everyone in my company to know. Okay, that's not the reason. And I really think it's because we can't publish salaries without giving context and explaining and making people understand what goes into determining a salary and all the there's so many things that are involved in that. So I don't know. So it if people are mature in that organization enough to understand and accept these explanations, then by all means let's do it. But we have to walk through a journey first. We can't just publish J.
Yeah. Like I feel like as an employee I would like to know, and then as someone who heads up a team and who knows how much
everybody in the team,
like in my team members, earn, and how it got to that.
Yeah.
It's almost like no, people shouldn't really know, because it's quite different. Like, you know, if I was earning like 5,000 at my old job and I came and I was asked at the interview, how much do I want? And I say 8, and then they just offer me 8, and you were being paid 10, and then you asked, they said 15, then they offered you 15. So is that like, you know, your fault?
So again, I get what you're coming, where you're coming from. And that is again, something that we're going to address
next week, because
it happens to quite a lot of people. Exactly. And they end up becoming shortchanged.
And
then we maybe look at both sides from a corporate, from the company's perspective, and then also from the candidate's perspective, and you know why things happen the way they do. So, but I definitely do think that having an idea of what your colleagues are getting should be something that we're open about, just for fairness' sake. So, and again, like speaking to you, adding to your, you're right. It's a maturity thing, because knowing and then going and causing a scene about it is not the way you know to go about it.
Yeah, because I also think if the salaries are fair, then we won't be opposed to them being transparent, because they can be justified, right?
So that also throws the ball back into the business's court as to whether or not are you paying your employees fairly.
And actually, someone made a comment to say, if your company published salaries for everyone, would you? So they kind of have to think about if their salaries were published, what would that do for the company's reputation.
Exactly.
But I think, look, like, companies have to submit, like, something called income differential.
Mm-hmm.
It's the Department of Labor. Sorry for forgetting. So every year when they do their employment equity, whatever, so they literally have to publish what they, not publish, but report.
Send,
report what they pay the different male, the differences in race, gender, and so on and so on. So, I don't know. I guess that's how they figure out these reports, gender gaps and whatever. But it's concerning that even in South Africa, things are not getting better, but they're getting worse.
Exactly.
So, I guess what David is trying to tell us is that if the income secrecy leads to information asymmetry, and that in economics, that deals with the study of decisions and transactions, where one party has more better information than the other.
Mm.
So, again, speaking to what you were talking about now. And then also, he speaks to that closing the gender pay gap as well means we need to start being open about our salaries, but also the openness he feels that will create the fairness. So if someone who is possibly earning more than they should be earning for a particular role and then someone else, then maybe that forces you, they'll probably force you psychologically to level up.
Because
if you've seen your colleague, doing the most for that salary, then you don't have a choice but to pick up.
Yeah.
So, but that's also an assumption. We don't know how, I don't know how someone would react to knowing my salary.
That is true.
I actually
had like an interesting, a couple of years ago, I had an interesting incident with a girl that I used to work with. Like, we used to almost be partners. I used to write, she used to design. And we got into, she went to report me, not really report me, we had like a meeting about something else, and she said that, well, you know, Lighton's very like relaxed at work and whatever, does whatever he wants to do, and he shops at Woolworths.
Wow.
And I guess he gets paid more than me. And I was like, I was like,
oh my gosh, what if you had a sugar daddy?
And then we actually, exactly, you know, that's what I said. I said I actually am dating a very rich man, thank you.
Yeah, I mean, guys, also.
That's what I said.
But also,
I was like, I'm not going to entertain this.
That's bad, though, because you don't know if I have a side hustle. You don't know if I'm cleaning toilets on weekends or I'm, sweeping streets on the weekends. You don't know what I'm going
to
do.
Who was she saying that to, Lighton?
She was telling, sort of like my team leader.
Imagine,
like
it's a being,
like
they should have, that's the maturity,
much,
yeah,
that's the maturity we're referring to.
Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. I do think that there's a certain level of EQ and maturity that you need to address or to actually discuss these sort of topics.
Yeah.
But if you're a listener and or you're listening to us right now and you actually have an opinion on this or you want to tell us what you think, or actually do your colleagues know how much you're earning, or do you know how much your colleagues are earning, or do you have access to payroll by any chance and see any discrepancies, let us know. You can even create an account there anonymous
until you get
what did we talk about last week?
Yes, but do you use the hashtag The Office Podcast, and we will share your views actually on the next episode. Send us your views, and then we will continue to share them on each episode.
And please rate and review our podcast on these apps. We are on Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts.
Is it called iTunes?
Yeah,
podcast.
We're on iTunes, guys.
There you go, guys.
All right, so thank you so much for that. We are now gonna just take a quick break and then we'll come back with tea.
Hello, guys. Welcome back to The Office Podcast. And it's tea time.
Uh-huh.
This is my favorite time at work.
Sip, sip.
By the pause area, darling. Yes. If you don't have a pause area and you have a canteen like me, well, welcome. So, guys, there is an exciting story that's odd. So, not more tea, but then I think we should all... There's a bit of tea in it anyways. BET Africa is working on a biopic for the life story of Lebo Mathosa.
Oh, nice.
And I am so excited about this, but I don't know if I'm really excited about it. Like, I was thinking about it earlier. I was like, okay, I was so excited during the day. And then I was thinking, okay, but shouldn't that be on the big screen? I expected it to be on the big screen, and I think it's just going to be on BET Africa. Mm. But anyway, so...
I want to ask before you continue. So, why has there never been one about Brenda Fassie?
Has there never been one about Brenda Fassie?
I've never seen anything about Brenda Fassie.
Oh, yeah, and I think she would have so much more... Well, not that I'm downplaying Lebo Matsos' life, but yeah,
I mean, she was Lebo's
Brenda's
idol.
Yeah, I think, but I just Brenda feel would like have
Brenda's story needs to be told.
It does need to be told.
Have we read? Maybe there was a book. I don't remember reading a book. Maybe there was. If I'm ignorant, forgive me. But I feel like there should be
something.
Should be
something.
Story should
be told. I was actually thinking about it. I was like, there's a few people that would. Like, I think stories that would be, like, quite great. Like, Brenda, TK.
Brenda was ahead of the time. Yeah. Okay, but this is about Lebo Matsos.
Yeah, well, exactly. Okay, so BET, guys, let us know if Brenda's somewhere in the pipeline maybe as well. Mm. Let us know why you chose Lebo.
Okay. Exactly. I love Lebo Matsos, by the way.
It's not shade.
Yes.
Anyway, so, guys, like, what's actually quite interesting is that there's a lot of... Okay, let's start from... the top, I think.
Yes.
What do you think makes a great biopic story, like movie?
The character, the person has to really, for me, be the person. Being within character. Like, they have to be so believable.
Do you think
that they have to be believable?
Exactly.
Okay.
Believable. Do you think that looks have, like, a bigger role to play?
Looks.
Yeah,
looks.
Definitely.
Like, you need to, like, look like the person.
Yep. For me, they do. They do.
There has to be some similarity, or you have to get into character to be able to look like.
Yeah,
look,
you need to lose weight or something.
Look at the Tina Turner movie. What's love got to do with it?
Angela Bassett,
and then Tina Turner. They, when you look at them like this, they don't look the same. Alike. But for some reason, she was able to the
channel,
body to
yeah,
channel
exactly.
that, and you know, she was believable, like you said.
Exactly.
So I don't know.
Yeah, that is actually quite fair, because this brings me to, like, some of the names that have been popping up of people that should play.
So is BET auditioning people?
Yes,
they're
actually auditioning
saying?
People on the 31st of March. In Joburg.
That's like now. This.
Yeah, that's not. This is coming weekend.
You should go, Lelo.
Please do not joke like that.
And what I was asking about, like, you know, what makes, like, a successful biopic, is that besides the looks and stuff, it's because a lot of people have been suggesting actresses that should play, which of course they're gonna audition. I would actually rather that it be somebody that we don't know, but somebody who delivers, someone who's a great actress and also a singer and a performer and who's like
I don't think they need to be able to sing.
Yeah, they can always lip sync. Yeah, and
act like they're singing.
Yes.
And you won't believe some of the names that have come up.
Your eyes are rolling.
Like, I am like, really? So someone was like, we need to get Zojo, man, to play.
No, man.
I think they were trying.
Like, next. No, next, exactly.
Yeah,
that
next.
Was my thing. And then, but there's an interesting one that I hadn't thought of. Dennis Zimba.
I can see Denise trying to get into character and whatever, so she could give that energy. I think she's energetic.
Yeah.
Does she act? Oh, yeah.
What does she do?
Denise is a presenter.
I know her, but I don't know what she does.
But it's not about what she does, isn't it? It's you're not auditioning because of what
you
do.
No, because I'm trying to see if she would be able to actually
deliver.
She's a performer. I think she's a TV presenter now. She's got the show that she was doing on Mnet or whatever.
Oh, yes, the wedding.
Yeah. Crashers. Yes. Okay, cool.
Exactly. Yeah, no, they're her. So I thought, like, that was an interesting one. I hadn't even thought of her, and I wouldn't even think of her. But I was like, oh, that's quite interesting. And then there's also people were saying Babes Odumo. And I like Babes. I think she's got the energy, but I really don't see her.
Might misbehave on set as well. No.
I know people. Oh no! Please don't go there.
Don't go there.
I know people are crazy about Babes and her dance moves, but I'm yet to see Babes wow me when she's dancing.
Yeah,
exactly.
Quite honest.
Yeah.
The last time I saw her in her hometown performing, and I wasn't wowed. I think there's only so much of Babes you can take. Personally,
clearly we have someone who doesn't like Babes in this.
No, I love her, but not for this role.
And someone also brought up someone that I tweeted about earlier this week, Zama Jobe. And no. I don't know how she would act, because like I don't. She doesn't even come across as like she's like too cool, calm, and collected.
Yes.
But anyways, guys,
if we are casting someone to play Simpiwe Dana, then we can get her.
Exactly. Yes. And also, like, I wonder what's happening with her. But anyways, we'll get to that. So guys, like, I just wanted to know, do you think that do you have a femme favorite that you think will nail this role, or like, what are your thoughts?
Why not Kanyimbao?
But she did that whole exactly. Why
she
not?
Can
actually,
do it.
She
can
do it. Yeah.
Did you need to get like makeup and darken her skin
and unpink it?
Everything be shaved.
I'm factual.
She's factual. But actually, like, I thought of her, and I think she's actually a good actress.
She's a good actress.
She's on Red Room, and I hear it's really good. Hey?
Yeah.
I haven't watched it, but I saw someone talk about Red Room, and I think her performance on there, well, what I've read, is really great. So I'm actually keen to watch that.
I think Kanyimbao would.
I think she would. And then also, you know, she'll reprise her role from, because she did the stage, the theater production for Leva. So I think, you know, that would be quite a good one.
Yeah. Oh, then she might as well.
Yeah,
but hey, I'm actually keen to see if they can't find someone, you know, in the streets of Tembisa or something that will wow them.
Exactly.
It would be nice to see someone new, someone fresh. I'm yearning for something different.
Yeah.
That just wows me, and I'm like, what? Like they did with Madwedwe, or like they did with you know, that other political movie that I really loved. I just forgot the name now, but you know, seeing new faces for me
makes it so awesome. That would be quite interesting. But also, guys, like, I feel like that is going to be, like, you know, quite an important part in making it a success. But the other thing that will make it a success is the storyline. I wonder what they're going to talk about and what they're not going to talk about, how honest it's going to be.
Is the family involved? Do you know?
I'm not sure. Actually, I haven't heard
of because we don't want drama of people saying they didn't know about it.
Yeah,
no.
Exactly. Yeah, it's going to be another one. Yeah. But anyways, guys, we cannot wait.
It's good.
Yeah.
It's good that BET Africa is actually creating
and telling the stories, and we need to tell the stories ourselves. Yes.
And I think there should be more stories that should be told. So hopefully, we all support those that have DSTV.
Speaking of VET Africa, can they please just do a screening for Being Mary Jane, the movie? Thank you very much. Bye.
Nance, okay.
Yes, actually, there's that. Mm. But yeah, please.
Topic for another
day. Topic for another day. But honestly, but it's quite interesting. And like you said, it's interesting that they're working on this South African content and like telling stories that I think should be heard and seen. And I think, you know, like what the. Like a note, it's not even a lesson, just a note, is that the success of this will rely heavily on the script and actually the storytelling. Mm. And I think for me, that's the most important thing. You can have like an amazing actress, and if the content and the meat of the story
and
not
I think
great,
if also if they involve people who knew Lebo, who worked with her, who lived with her and her family, then it carries more power. We don't want to watch it and then the family is like saying this is rubbish. I was talking about Tina Turner earlier on. Yes. Do you know that Tina Turner said she's never watched that What's Love Got to Do With It because they messed up.
I saw those clips.
They exaggerated a lot of the stuff that happened.
Which
it saddened me because I was like, it's such a brilliant film.
Guys, but is that not what is supposed to happen in a film or in a book? Almost like you stuff is exaggerated, obviously, because for entertainment purposes.
Yes, but don't change facts.
Exactly.
You can exaggerate things, like maybe there was a fight and then just exaggerate it a bit, but don't
change
facts. If
the
fight did not happen about something big, then don't edit. Don't get creative with my story.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
So I think that's the part. So you can, obviously, everything will not be done the way it happened because of entertainment value.
Exactly.
But I think the problem comes with stories being changed completely.
I'd laugh if they got an American for this one.
No, they are not going to do that.
We don't have time for that.
No,
at all.
They will not do that. What else is up in tea time?
So tea time. Okay, let's go to my favorite sis, my favorite girl, Cardi B.
What did she do again? What did she do?
No, you gotta take back that favorite. Oh, this discussion.
What did she do?
No, I think like, you know, I actually need to take back the favorite because this is sick. So honestly, the story is really sick. Yeah, it's not really great. So Lela doesn't have context to this story, so we're breaking it down.
Break it down.
Let's break it down. So Lela Cardi B, there's a video of Cardi B that surfaced where she was sharing about her past, you know, as a stripper, and she was saying how she used to drag and steal from men and also have sex with them too.
Right? Okay. Who is she telling this to?
No, it was just a video where, you know, somebody posted online and she recorded the video.
She recorded herself speaking.
Yes, exactly. And it was one of those things that I think at that point she really didn't think anything of it. But then when it just resurfaced now, people were like, oh, okay, so now we, as a, people, we're out here surviving Cardi B. And I was like, oh, what? God. Yeah, so it's just literally gone down to that detail where people are, like, are having really heated debates on the extent of, you know, to the extent of having this hashtag, and people saying that, well, she deserves to get punished like Bill Cosby, because it's essentially what she was doing to this man. But my thing, though, you know, I'm not condoning what she did, but my thing is that this man, like, there's a man who came out, one of her victims, he's called Kevin Smith, and he says that, well,
he came out after this video.
Yes,
oh, no.
After this video came out, right? Gosh. And he says that, well, that happened to me. He was in New York. He went to the strip club, Chuck. And he saw Cardi, and he liked her, and they went back to his hotel room. And the last thing that he remembers, like, she was twerking, and she had, like, he went to the bathroom and had a drink, and he cannot remember anything from there. Mm-hmm. And when we woke up, there was a used condom. Mm-hmm. And then there was, she had stolen, like, her iPod and, I think iPhone and, a Louis Vuitton belt and $850.
Oh my gosh. Why would she bring this thing out? She's married, she's got a kid.
But then this is the thing, I think it was, like, one of those videos that you do, like, in your past and, like, in the old days, and you're not even thinking that it's gonna haunt you.
The problem is she talks too much, man.
Exactly. And she also talks too much. She needs to, like, you know, nip it down, and also know, like, when you go high, there's certain things that you need to cut off. Like,
but okay, let's just, okay, so yeah. she should keep quiet and she talks too much. Let's just say someone else broke the story. Now we deal with the topic and the story itself and the accusation and the fact that she's admitted to such crimes.
Yeah.
So what do we say about Cardi now?
Listen, like, my thing is that, like, I don't know. I get back and forth. Does she need to face charges or, like, any punishment for this?
This guy must answer why he didn't report.
Oh, so he says that he didn't report it because he didn't have substantial proof, and also because he was engaged. So it's always men are trash. But so that was the whole thing. But then my thing is, I don't know if she. But also, we need to know how many guys there were. I think that
why
also...
We don't need to know that. Mm-hmm. What she did was wrong, whether it was one or two. She's got to take her L.
Right. Like, I know, but I suppose then it's like the stealing and the robbing and... But then,
the dragging.
The dragging, of course. And but clearly the guys, the intention was to have sex. So that... I think that's where I get, like, a little bit murky. And I don't know if I'm just being... like crazy, but I'm just like, okay, they did want to sleep with her, so of course they were dragged in his bed and they got stolen from.
Steal the stuff.
Yeah.
And then in her apology, she says that the men, these are men that I dated, that I was involved with, men that were conscious, willing, and aware.
Guys, if we flip the script, right? So it's exactly. if we flip the script and. A guy said, yeah, no, Gea was, we were dating, we were together, and she was a willing party. Mm-hmm. Then why are you dragging me?
Exactly.
And so why are you dragging me? If I was a willing party, then why are you dragging
me?
Exactly. You know, in such situations, you sometimes have to, you know, think about it if you know, the tables had turned.
Exactly.
I don't know, man. I don't know. I'm feeling some type of way.
It is. And, I don't know. It's just one of those. I'm like, I actually don't know how to feel, because I feel like she's one of those people who knows how to sabotage herself.
She does.
Yeah.
And it's just, like, it's really sad. But anyways, do you think, guys, she should have, there should be, like, any
repercussions
for this? Consequences.
Yeah,
and, like,
there should be.
Lawfully.
I
don't know how they would deal with it.
Yeah.
But if she's saying, yeah, don't they need to...
But the victims were coming out.
Yeah, so don't they need to report that Don't they need to go to the police station or something and open a case or open charges?
I wonder if the brands that are associated with her will turn.
You know what I'm saying? Because it's because you know what? The only thing about this discussion that kind of disturbs me is that everyone is now comparing it to R. Kelly.
Come on,
that's just like the difference between the two is there's one who's accountable for their actions and there's one who's damn right not even admitting but there's evidence. There was a whole video, there was a whole sex tape.
We don't need to compare it to R. Kelly. Let's deal with it in isolation.
And if you're saying she does need to face repercussions lawfully, then that's what we're saying. But don't compare it to
anything.
No,
let's check. I'm gonna check.
Maybe retweet what her babs are saying.
This is probably like in studio trying to write a diss track of some sort.
Exactly.
Yeah. With Nikki, you can never know. She hasn't said anything yet. She just says her fans are an obsession. She loves them.
But hopefully, you know, she learned a lesson and not to, you know, to talk too much. Because I think she talks too much, and sometimes you don't need to.
Sorry, I may have asked you this, but I forgot. Did you say she posted the video?
Yes, so there was the video surfaced online, but she took the video, and she
took the video three years ago, and then it just surfaced online now.
And then this is the thing, it's like you need, and she says like, oh, it was 5 years ago, and I was like,
just going delete through these things, delete your nudes after sending them, don't put your face in there, don't do these things that are going to get you into trouble.
And I think that you've just summed up the lesson of this.
What's the lesson?
That is the lesson.
And the other part is stop drugging men to steal.
No, that is so wrong.
That is my main lesson.
And that whole thing, her whole reason of the fact that she was like a rough time in New York, and you know she had to do whatever she had to do. I'm like, no.
I hear you, and I still agree, and I still say that she's wrong. But reality is that poverty has turned a lot of people, has made a lot of people turn to crime, right? So maybe she was also, because she did say, no, I didn't have any other alternatives, which is, I don't know how true it is, because she was already stripping, isn't it?
So that was something
for her to make money from without hurting people.
Get into credit card scam or something.
But guys, what I'm running away from is
the drugging element.
A crime is a crime.
Don't drug someone and have sexual intercourse with him.
I get like the dragging on is fun because you don't know what people are allergic to, and you know the next thing it could be like something else. So it's
could
like
die from it.
But guys, so many lessons out of this.
And
today.
Cardi must take her L.
Exactly.
It's a big L.
You know what? She's gonna drop a song next weekend. People would have forgotten about it.
People forgot about R. Kelly long time ago as well.
Well, I hope Charlamagne the God gives her donkey of the day.
That's all
I'm saying. On that note, guys, see you on the flip side.
Thanks for that tea, Lighten. Welcome back. So, thank you so much, Lighten, for that tea.
It's always interesting.
We are a puza.
Makes a good cup too.
Alright, so now we're going out of office. But we're not going very far, so you can put your passport away. South Africa, beautiful, beautiful country. Lots of beautiful places for us to explore. I still have a lot of places in the country that I want to experience and go visit. But I want to ask you guys for today. I just want to ask you guys, just share what are your favorite holiday spots in South Africa, or you can just talk about a holiday that you enjoyed in this country. So, Lighten, we start with you.
Okay, so one of my favorites, I think, would be Franschhoek. I really love. I think it's because I like wine.
I've heard people recommend.
I've been to Franschhoek more than I've been to Cape Town.
Okay.
And I've been to Cape Town a lot of times.
Wow. Okay, honey.
And Knysna, love Knysna. Mm-hmm. But also, guys, over the long weekend, I took Friday off and I went to Tabaledi Game Lodge in the Northwest. So
what did you call this lodge, Gia?
No, I thought he said Tabaledi Gay Lodge.
I can't with you, Gia.
I apologize. But then, Northwest.
Yes, Northwest. It's only 2.5 hours away. It's just 60 kilometers away from Brits.
Oh,
and it's just like it's close to the Pilansberg. Oh. And you know, like what was quite surprising was that I went with friends of mine and we booked it and we're like, oh, you know, let's just do something. Mm. And it's probably going to be crap anyways. Mm. And then we got there. It was amazing. It was way more than we expected. Wow. Definitely worth more than we paid for.
Wow. Was it 4-star or 5-star?
It was it was actually a 3-star.
Wow.
Which is quite interesting because it deserves to be a 4-star.
Tabaledi.
Tabaledi, yes.
Wow, okay.
And they've got like a camping session. They've got like chalets. We're a bigger group. So our chalet was like a tent slipper. There's eight of us, but we want a bit more room. There is DSTV. There's
Netflix.
Oh, it does look like a 3-star.
Okay. Servicing. It kind of looks like...
Wow. It's from the pictures.
The pictures actually looks... It looks bad on the pictures, yes, but it looks really good in person. Wow. They need to get a great photographer.
That's nice, though, that you go to a place expecting this and get
it. Yeah, exactly.
That is amazing.
That was so amazing. And you know what?
No, like, their marketing department needs to
they need to amp it up. Mm-hmm. I actually gave them that feedback. I said, you need to amp it up because...
You're underselling
the place, and it's quite amazing. There's like a little shop. You get like your own lapa, and you're actually your own lapa that has got like a braying thing in there. Your own outside table.
Ooh,
like,
and it's peaceful.
It's peaceful.
Do you see
it's
the
quiet.
Animals walking around?
Yeah, there's animals. You can go for game drive. 350 rands for 10 people.
Wow.
Yep. Exactly.
Is this in South Africa?
Yes.
No,
honestly, guys, I went during a long weekend, and I was like,
things to be
to be more expensive, and it was quite interesting. It's really like a cost effective.
Did you take pictures?
I took pictures. I'm gonna post because I'm working on my aesthetics on Instagram. So.
Oh, okay. Honey.
Yeah, if you follow me at Audacious Tony, just see.
Wow, I can't do that whole aesthetics thing.
Do it so well.
I can't
you
do it.
You do it very well. No, you did it well in Kenya. Like in Kenya,
I tried.
I was
so fit. Wow.
I was definitely sold.
But guys, check it out. Like, yeah, I mean,
Tabaledi
I'm not trying to plug them, but I think it was
Game Lodge.
Yeah, Game Lodge. Tabaledi.
Not gay. Game Lodge.
Tabaledi in the Northwest. It was surprisingly
and the service.
Good. The service
amazing.
Was quite. Like, I mean, the service was quite good. It was a little slow in terms of. Not in a bad way.
Why are you
I
rushing? Think you are in a game lodge. You must
exactly,
chill.
Yeah. Mm. And I mean, like, the driver, he was really nice, and he was so fun. And he would, like, teach us a lot of things,
nice.
And he would, like, take different routes every time, because we went in a game drive, like, 3 days.
So what did you see?
Days.
Which animals did you see?
Well, they don't have all of the big five, but then they've got, like, a lot of... almost all the box.
Yes.
So, which is great. And they've got like zebras, giraffes. There's a lot of giraffes. And it was really good. It was calming. There's like hiking if you're that kind of person.
Nah.
I hiked like in the morning to the sunrise and in the evening to the sunset decks. The sunsets are glorious.
Were you guys in there? How many of you?
There were 8 of us.
Oh.
It was like
okay.
five adults. Actually, 7 of us. There were 5 adults and 2 kids.
Wow.
Yeah, no, it was quite definitely, if you're trying to get away of
the
city.
The prices are not bad. I'm looking at the prices now.
If you're trying to get away for the city, just for the weekend.
And it's not too far.
You
don't want to drive too far sometimes.
You don't drive too far. And it's like, it's only you have self-catered, though. There's a chef and there's a restaurant there. But then, you know, the menu is quite thin. So you might not get everything that you would like. But the alcohol is cheap and it's actually good. It's good alcohol. Cheap prices.
Awesome.
Exactly.
Okay, so this is Northwest. So definitely Northwest
definitely,
up there
definitely.
On your list
exactly.
of must-do places in
must
South Africa.
Places, yeah.
All right. Skia.
Super. So I think I haven't traveled that much in South Africa. Which
have you been to Durban at least?
No, yeah. But I mean, it's
the
Durban.
Way said,
and
no, yeah. It was like, maybe not.
Well, it's
so where have you been outside
now?
of SA? Of
Mpumalanga. I've been to Hazy View. I've been to Durban, of course. I've been to... Cape Town.
Nothing sticks out, like
I've been to Eastern Cape. No, nothing stuck out. I think Cape Town will always stick out for me. Mm-hmm.
So that's Cape Town.
Cape Town will always stick out for me. What I'm looking forward to, though, is the KZN Midlands, because I've always just gone to Durban. So in August, I'll be in the KZN Midlands. And I think it looks peaceful, and that's what I look forward to. But because I'm such a city girl, right? It's hard for me to pick holiday spots that are quiet and serene and, you know, they're not busy. I'm constantly looking for the busyness. As much as I'm looking for a holiday, I always want the city. So even if I go to Asia or whatever, I have to, in some, if I'm in an island, I have to find my way to to the city at some stage. So it's one of those. So the Cape Town will always be a fan favorite for me. I know everyone talks about how expensive it is, but it is what it is, I guess, guys. But Cape Town has always been a fan for me. Durban is ratchet F.
But
and I love that,
though, girl.
But I love the ratchetness. You know why? Because the reason why I love that is that I feel like no one knows me, so I can
go wild.
That's me outside the country.
Yeah, I can release the ratchet. Don't talk about that. I release the inner ratchet.
So did you say you want to go to the Midlands?
I'm going in August. I'm actually, funny enough, yesterday I was looking at flights, I was looking at car hire, I was looking at all that stuff, so I'm planning.
Just give us a review, because I know, you know, they shot like that, one of the series at Girl from St. Agnes in the Midlands, and it looks beautiful.
It is beautiful. My son and I went there 2 years ago. It was like a Jaguar campaign.
So
we drove there. It was actually just after his birthday. So it was really nice. And we stayed at like a beautiful place called Hartford House. They serve like 5-course meal. It's like a dinner. It's like a thing. So my son and I at some point were like just sitting there waiting for
That's all you guys did.
Because
you come back kilograms heavier.
It's like these tiny little portions, but like, tasting
menus almost.
Yeah, but it was amazing. So it is a beautiful area.
Because I think most times if we say KZN, you're thinking Durban. Durban North, and which I will always enjoy. That stuff I always enjoy with my friends, because every experience is a different experience, and I love that. And the slides there at the Ushaga Marine, I did that once, and I loved it. I felt like such a child, but
I just feel I love it. It underwhelms me so much.
Oh, no, them slides, I love them.
I'm in Durban.
Oh, I think it's because it's Durban.
I don't know. There's something about it that doesn't excite me.
Me anymore.
So I think I would just go, but like, what's there for me to do?
It's just Durban, guys. I think now it's just become Durban.
So I think
No hate, please.
If you like party. The only thing I would give to Durban is like, if you go there, you can actually swim, unlike Cape Town.
That's true.
Even in winter, you can go in and
they've got great weather. And
so that's
food,
what I love.
Those curries.
Bel Punto.
Everyone always loves Bel Punto.
Is this the one on that road?
Yes, in Amanzimtoti.
Oh, the one that's up there.
That's really good.
A friend of mine took me there when because I had gone to just after my mother passed. Then there was a time where I went to Durban on a weekend, like alone. I just went to Durban. I was like, I just need time out at the beach. And I was chilling at the beach like the whole day. So the evening, he was like, okay, let me take you out. So he took me to that place.
But I actually, a while ago, posted on my Instagram quiz. I asked people, what are the hidden gems in South Africa that I can visit? Because I'm so tired of the same stuff. So I'm looking for gems, hidden gems that
I don't think I've got a favorite holiday spot in South Africa yet, because I feel like there's so much that I haven't seen. I want to go to the Eastern Cape. I'm trying to go now in April, but SA Express, please make it happen. So I'm trying to go now in April, but I really feel like there's so much to explore in the Eastern Cape, and it's beautiful. The Titicama, you know, the Garden Route and the Wild Coast. Yes, I need to experience that.
I have to say, a lot of my friends who are foreign, whenever they come here, and they, you know, like how foreign people, they like to actually do like the whole country. They always say the Eastern Cape is like the best region beautiful.
There you go.
I
think
really beautiful.
It will be on my bucket list.
Awesome. So the moral of the story is that there's lots more to see in South Africa.
Definitely.
Let us know, guys, what's been your favorite spot to travel to in the country? Hashtag the Office Podcast.
I'd definitely like to book one of your suggestions. I'll even send you pictures.
We actually will do that. And check out, like, you know, Chip and Cheerful, like Tabaledi.
All right, thank you, guys. We'll see you again next week.
Thanks,
goodbye.
Bye.